Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green through June 5th. We're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook, and you can go to warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy. Tonight we flash back to December 11th, 2013. The Warriors hosting Dallas, and a big night for Stephen Curry. Here to help us break it down, the voice of the Dallas Mavericks, Chuck Cooperstein. And Chuck, at this point of the season, the Warriors are coming off this, their first real playoff run since 2007. They're young, they're dangerous because they can score in a hurry. But they're not, they're kind of on the way there, if you know what I mean. Dallas had a better record than the Warriors by one game coming into this matchup. But what was the Dallas outlook on the Warriors? How did they see the Warriors at this point?
After so many years of not being in the picture, the Warriors were in the picture. And, granted, 2007 was long ago in the mirror. Things had changed, and the Mavericks roster's gone. They've won a championship since then, and the Warriors have fallen back. But then, Mark Jackson and the organization really started getting their act together. They drafted well. They traded well. There was always going to be respect, and they always knew coming into Oracle, even before the Warriors became the Warriors, Oracle was still, a great team. People loved going there to play because even though the Warriors might always be good, the crowd was always good. The crowd was always into it. They knew what they were watching. So, it was always going to be a really good atmosphere to play in. And I believe this also, if my memory serves me right, was the first time that Monta Ellis had come back to Oakland with the Mavericks. And obviously Monte was very much admired in Oakland and in the Bay Area. And people were a little myth at times that why did they trade Monte, Branson Bogut? From our standpoint, I guess it was our first chance, we always regarded him as a good player, but certainly not a special player, but a guy who certainly had fit in very well, early on here with what the Mavericks were trying to do, but just how he was really liked and I dare say even loved, in Oakland. So that was a fascinating dynamic to that game as well.
Still a favorite player of the Warrior fan base here, and at the time, people still weren't they had the fun last year, but you could probably have found a few Warrior fans who were still saying, hey, we shouldn't have traded Monte, he could have played alongside Steph. But now in this game, the Warriors get down 18, and what's interesting is that this was part of a stretch of 7 of 8 on the road. That's what they had just gone through. And their only home game in that stretch was against Toronto. And they got down 27 in that game and came back for a win. But let's go forward to the fourth quarter. And Stephen Curry was pretty special in that quarter. He had 1 8-point flash in like 90 seconds. He scored 16 in the quarter, 24 in the half. He would finish with 33. He and Monte missed a couple shots coming down the stretch. And then, Chuck, he comes down and hits a jumper with 1.5 to go, and you have a pretty good memory of what went on there.
From my standpoint, and I think from the Mavericks' standpoint, the game probably should not have ended as it ended. Curry didn't have the cleanest look at it. He was wide open by his stretch, but he made it with a little over a second to go. And, of course, Oracle erupts. The Warriors bench erupts. And you had Warrior players coming out on the floor. And I don't remember, it might have been Tony Douglas who came out on the floor and was chest bumping with Curry, with time still on the clock. Well, there's no time now called. The Mavericks didn't call time, so they didn't have a timeout. It should have been a technical foul, and the Mavericks would have taken the shot, and then with a little over a second to go, they would have had the ball and a chance, perhaps to win the game. So that's my very Mavericks moment. the thing, I guess, that, you know, I'll always take away from it, again, is as the Warriors started getting better and Curry started feeling it, that the emotion and energy in the building would just completely ramp up to become one of the great home court advantages in the NBA. And at that point, you know, and how many times, Tim, have you seen it with Curry? You know, once he gets in that zone, I mean, it really doesn't matter what you do with him. You're not going to be able to stop him. And that was just a great final shot to feed the had more than his fair share of great final shots against the Mavericks over the course of his career.
When you look at Stephen Curry, why do you think he had so many, you know, really good nights against Dallas? Was it simply a matchup situation?
I think he could have done it against anyone. Okay. the way he shoots the ball. Sometimes, you know, it's like you say, well, I mean, goodness, you know, get it out of his hands. But the one thing Steph has always been able to do, and what makes him so difficult to play against, he's obviously great with the ball in his hands, but he's also great without the ball in his hands. And, you know, just the nature of Golden State's offense, you know, with Draymond being able to handle the ball, you know, the way he does, is that it takes so much off the plate of Curry that, you know, he's just going running around off the screens, and it's, and he's in such great condition, he just makes it so difficult for people to stay with him over the course of possession. Now, you know, you might be able to do it for 3 or 4 seconds, but, I mean, really, when do you ever see Curry still without the ball in his hands? He's always moving. And so that's why it becomes really difficult. Oakland's a great building to play in. But he's had some amazing games in Dallas, too. And I know I've talked to a number of players through the years, coming through Dallas, and they have always said that, you know, shooting in the American Airlines Center is among their favorite buildings to shoot in. They love the background. They love the feel of everything about it. And they're not so much related to the particular defense that the Mavericks might be putting out tonight. The Mavericks at that point were not – I mean, they weren't a great defensive team, but they certainly weren't a bad defensive team. I just think this was a matter of Curry doing what Curry does.
The Warriors right now, in what they're doing is rebuilding. But back then, in 2013, they were on the rise. Can you make a comparison to the Warriors at that time to the Mavericks right now?
Interesting. I think it's not a bad one. I mean, obviously, Doncic and Curry are very different players in how they go about their business. I would say that, you know, Doncic has the ball in his hands a lot more than Curry did. So they're playing differently. But I do think there's a particular vibe, and you know this, Tim, having been around it as long as you have, that, you know, when you're on the way up, it's sometimes even more fun than when you actually get to the top. And if you're fortunate like the Warriors and you're able to sustain it and go to the finals for 5 consecutive years, I mean, it's great, but it's that first time that you're going through it that really is the most fun probably that you'll ever have. Or just the sense that you know something is building. And certainly, you know, we in Dallas know that something is building here with Doncic and Porzingis and their supporting cast, many of whom are signed to contracts over the next several years, not just in the short term. I mean, they're trying to grow this thing just the way the Warriors did once they made the boat trip with Bogut and Steph and Clay and Draymond. Obviously later they were able to add Durant, but they had a core that was going to help them rise, and I think that's the same approach that the Mavericks have taken. It's the approach that San Antonio took for so many years, which is why they had that unparalleled run of success and consistency. If you can grow it from within, it really does become that much more special when everybody rises up to that moment when you're raising the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Chuck Cooperstein, as always, my friend, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tim.
My thanks to Chuck Cooperstein, the voice of the Dallas Mavericks. And a reminder, the Warriors are re-airing all these classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for full details.